couple of weeks ago on the program, we heard from one of two Rustburg High School government teachers who are advocating for a referendum on the ballot in November in Campbell County to have a 4% meals tax. It would be a 4% meals tax referendum. And so we're going to hear from one of them, Michael Nagy. We had Michael on the program a couple of weeks ago. But we welcome to the studio this morning Bob Good, Campbell County Supervisor representing the Sunburst District, to talk about this proposed meals tax. So, Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mary. Brian, good to be with you guys.
All right. So Michael Nagy, when he was on, talked about why he believes that Campbell County needs this meals tax. And here's a bit of the conversation.
I just feel like we have such a backlog of projects right now that we need funding for badly. And I think one of the biggest fallacies out there right now is that I want this meals tax for a raise for me, that I want it just to go to schools. We have sheriff's deputies leaving to go to other private companies, B&W, the state troopers, just because the salaries aren't competitive. We need broadband services. Phone services are going to have to be revamped just within the county offices at some point, running water and sewer lines to maybe attract development to the area. And so we have a lot of projects that need funding, and this is hopefully one way that could alleviate us maybe trying to raise property taxes instead.
So that's Michael Nagy, Rustburg High School government teacher, trying to get, I think they need 4,000 signatures, 3,800 signatures for this to be on the ballot in November. So Bob Good, Campbell County Supervisor, what do you think about, are you in favor of a meals tax?
Probably shock you to hear that I'm not in favor of meals tax. You know, when you guys have been kind to have me on air a few times, going back 3 years ago when I first began to run for supervisor, and you know, I told folks what I stood for: limited government and pro-growth, pro-business, pro-development policies. I wanted to fund the essentials and to be to go lean on what I consider the non-essentials. Essentials being law enforcement, public safety, and education. And we have, for the, I can only speak the 2.5 years I've been on the board, but we have done what we said we would do, which we've not raised taxes, but we've grown revenue. Revenue's up this year $1.9 million from over last year. We fully funded what the schools asked for this year, fully funded, let me say it again, what the schools asked for last year from an education standpoint. And we actually gave them more than they asked for the resource officers. The state of Virginia says we're the best funded county in the greater Lynchburg area in terms of what the state of Virginia says is required, needed to fund schools adequately. So we've done what we said we would do. And I said coming in 3 years ago that raising taxes would not be just politician speak, but it actually really was a last resort to me, that I would have to be so persuaded that there was no other option. And as I've seen our county administrator doing a great job balancing our budget, for the first time in these last our third year in a row, we've balanced the budget for a first time in a long time without borrowing from the savings account. And as revenue's grown in a positive direction, as we funded the essentials, and you know, we've done what we said to the citizens that we wouldn't raise their taxes unless it was absolutely necessary, which that's a really high threshold for me. And nothing's, my mind has not been changed in the 2.5 years I've served, that government doesn't have enough money. You know, I certainly don't come in saying, you know, citizens ought to tighten their belt and do with less so that government can do with more. And the government beast will never be satisfied. They'll never come and say, it's enough, we don't need any more. And so you can always find a reason to take other people's money to do what you want to do with it. So it won't surprise you to hear, and there's several other reasons I'll be glad to expound upon, but I'm not in favor of the meals tax.
And just as a technical point, is there any chance that this meal tax might go before the Board of Supervisors, or is the only way it's going to get considered to go to a referendum, do you think?
Well, I will say, back to the original question about being in favor of it, I do appreciate and respect the process of it. You know, this is how democracy should work. The founders intended for, you know, as much power as possible to be as close to the people as possible at the local level. Now, we have the ability to influence our local government, our local politics. You know, we know who our local legislators are. We see them in the community. We can talk to them. We can meet them and visit with them. And so there's a couple of different ways that folks, if they want taxes to go up, if they want more revenue going to the government, of course they can elect people that want that, and hopefully elected officials will do what they say. Certainly I've tried to do that for the 2 years that I've been in office. But they can elect folks who want that, they can persuade those who are elected to enact that, or they can go through the referendum process or try to get on the ballot and then vote it in when it's on the ballot. So I suspect there's a few of my friends on the board who are in favor of a meals tax. I've only heard one come out and say it. It's funny, the folks who I would say are on the other side politically and what they think of, on the one hand, they've got a militant, organized, active base, small group of folks who really want the meals tax and really want government spending to go up. And they've got to satisfy that group to help them get elected. On the other hand, they've got a conservative county who has voted against such things, and so they have to be careful and not really come out in favor of it publicly. So they're sort of having to straddle a fence there. It's a little bit like some senators, I think, with a Supreme Court vote that's going to be coming up soon.
Yeah, and we should note, I believe it was 5 years ago when this was last considered at a referendum, and it was, I think it was 61-39 against, so a lot of minds to change. So would any amount, you would think be okay? I mean, would 4% just be too high, or would even 1% be too much?
Well, 4% is the limit, and once you have it, it's a lot easier. And I think, though, in fairness to them, I think that the folks who are proposing it, or at least trying to collect the signatures, they want a 4%. They want the maximum. So, you know, I think they're being honest about that. But it wouldn't have to be 4% just because you had it. But once you had it, it's a lot easier for the government to raise it. And, of course, they can use it for however they want to use it. The other reason why I'm against it would be it's a regressive tax. You know, I think our citizens are already overtaxed. And I'm certainly not going to say, let's say it's 4%, that 4% restaurant tax is going to kill people for the most part.
It's a $25 bill. It's an extra $1.
An extra dollar. However, it is a regressive tax. It hits fixed income folks a lot harder than it hits, you know, those folks who are glad to have the senior discount for their coffee at a local restaurant. It hits fixed income folks, low income folks more. Other folks will like to say, and I think this typifies government thinking at its worst. They will say, well, you don't have to eat out if you don't want to pay it. Government ought not to be involved in our leisure activities or dictating to us what our activities are or getting a piece. Why would government get a piece of my restaurant bill? Why should the government get a piece of my restaurant bill? Thankfully, the local government can't do that from groceries and gas and things like that. But it's certainly legal for government to do it on a county level for a meals tax if that's what the citizens or the legislators want. But no, I would not be in favor of it. Again, I would respect if the majority of the citizens wanted that, and there's a means to enact that, but I would not vote for it, and I certainly wouldn't support it. I'll take you one better on it. If it were to pass, and I don't think that it will, but if it were to pass, I will propose a real estate tax reduction. I'll call the bluff of the folks who are saying, hey, we'll get the taxes from other people. It won't just be from our county citizens, but we'll get it from other people passing through. Well, I would then immediately propose to my fellow members of the board, you know what, let's return then back to our citizens a property tax reduction, a real estate tax reduction that would offset or nearly offset, if not completely offset, the increase in the meals tax.
You know, you brought that up, that other people are paying it, and that's part of the argument, is that it's not specifically on residents of Campbell County through the real estate tax.
Or not exclusively, anyway.
Right.
A meals tax not be exclusively.
Exclusively, sure. Right. So the article, the News in Advance article, points out, though, that Bedford, Campbell, Bedford, Amherst, and Nelson counties all have the meals tax. Lynchburg has the meals tax that generated $14.38 million, and the city's director of financial services says it's one of the city's largest sources of general fund revenue. Yeah. Now, some in Campbell County could say, look, we're having to pay meals taxes when we go to eat in Lynchburg and Amherst and Bedford, so why not have people who are coming here pay a meals tax in Campbell County, and we benefit from it?
Well, philosophically, I certainly don't want to copy or emulate or be like the counties or the local entities that do have higher taxes. I'm proud that Campbell is a low tax area. Campbell's a low tax area with great quality of life, great schools, great citizens, a great place to live, work, raise a family, retire, and it has low taxes. That's one of the things that attracted me to move into Campbell County. And you know, that's what people repeatedly say when they move into our county. And you know, you can point across the county lines into other entities around here, municipalities around here, and I think Appomattox is the only one locally who doesn't have one along with us. If you're asking me if I think they ought to have a meals tax, my answer, of course, would be no, I don't think they should, but I certainly don't want to be like our friends across the city line who have much higher taxes in every way, spend far more than we do, and I would argue we deliver a much better product to our citizens in just about every way.
They have said that it's not just about the schools, but and you've said, you know, you guys funded this fully funded the schools. But folks within the Campbell County schools, or many of them, will say, look, some of the schools are just kind of scraping by and not able to offer the courses that they would like to, and not able to offer things for the students that other schools are. And then he made the point about the sheriff's deputies leaving to seek higher paying jobs in private industry, and then the broadband. I mean, what about these? Or would you agree that these are needs that Campbell County has not fully funded?
Well, when you take the sheriff's office, for example, you know, we've been able to provide raises for the last few years for the sheriff's deputies. We provided a double raise last year, double what the rest of the county provided. I think we're trying to make that a priority to do a better job in that. You can't do that overnight.
If you had more money, you could give them more of a raise. But you always have to make trade-offs,
and you always have to make, you know, our citizens have to live within a budget. Our citizens have to make choices. And here you have a choice for the citizens. If the citizens want to pay more taxes, they have a means to do that. Now, I think there's two ways that a elected person can operate. One is to say, okay, what do the citizens that have elected me, what do they want me to do? And that's what I'm going to do at whatever level, federal, state, or local level. The other way would be to say, I'm going to do what I think is right. I'm going to tell the citizens what I plan to do. I'm going to do what I think is right, and then I'll explain or defend what I did and be held accountable by the citizens. I'm in the latter camp. I'm going to do what I think is right. That's what, you know, I said I would do when I was elected, and the citizens can hold me accountable if that's what they want in the representative government. But the citizens have the, you know, at the end of the day, it is the citizens' choice, and the citizens have that choice. As a citizen, I would not be in favor, and as an elected official, I would not support it.
So let me ask you there, one of the things that's brought up here is, maybe this money for broadband in the county, or laying in water and sewer lines in areas to be developed. Do you think it's the county's role to do that? I mean, if a developer is going to put in a subdivision or an industrial park, is it up to the county to run the water and sewer there, or should that be paid for by the developer?
Well, I have voted for everything that's come across our board, and I say that everything. You know, it's funny. We have some new members on the board who talked when they ran about being pro-development, pro-growth, and pro-business and so forth, and then have voted against such things when they get on the board. Because, you know, to get elected in Campbell, you got to kind of talk that way. I have voted for everything that's come across our board, literally everything that's been from a development standpoint, from a business standpoint, from a growth standpoint. And I think the county has a role to play in that, to try to help facilitate that. You know, I think you have to, and everybody's line is different, if you will, or what their balance is on that. You know, I don't think that, you know, I think you have to be careful that government isn't subsidizing business, but I think there's things that government can do to try to be welcoming and open and help facilitate growth in their county. You know, to some extent, when you choose to live in a county versus a city, you are doing a trade-off, for example, on some services. You're choosing, you know, let's just take our county. Campbell County is roughly 500 square miles. The city's 50 square miles. Roughly the same amount of people. City's just a little bit bigger than Campbell County is. But so when you're choosing to live in a county, you're choosing to live in a more rural situation. You're choosing, you know, less expensive land. You're choosing lower taxes generally. You're choosing your schools are going to be farther apart generally, those kind of things. If you want high taxes and more services, if you will, and you want to pay for those things, then you choose to live in the city. So there's a trade-off there from a county and a city standpoint.
And this, you note that the county is going to have almost an extra $2 million in the next fiscal year coming up. What do you, is there anything you think you should spend that on? Should it be put away? Would that be maybe money used for broadband to attract business to the county?
Well, and I'd like to point out, I think that we're on a positive trend there. That's continued for the last few years. I would hope that will continue. You know, again, I'm very much pro-development. I want more taxes to the county. You know, I'm not against more tax coming in per se. I'm against taking more from our citizens. And so my point of that is, if we can grow the pie, if you will, if we can expand the revenue streams by growth in the county, those sorts of things, I'm in favor of that. So I look for that trend to continue. I hope that we'll have a board that will continue to encourage things that will grow that. I think our county administrator and our staff are doing a great job of prioritizing what are the most important things to do with the resources that we have, and we've been able to make increases in different areas. Again, we're always going to operate within, but even if, you know, it's just like a family, if all of a sudden you have an income increase in your family, you adjust your lifestyle, and you can end up just as tight as you were before you had that increase. County can do the same thing. And so, I think there's a healthy balance there that we're trying to achieve.
Bob Good, Campbell County Supervisor in the Sunburst District. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you guys for having me. Good to be with you.